welcome to the Golfing Mind, the podcast which looks at the game of golf in general and the mental game of golf in particular. Though as we go into year two, and I'm very pleased to say we're in the second year of this unbelievably popular podcast, I may have used a little bit of poetic license there, but I want to talk a little bit more about the game of golf as it relates to our lives, specifically our mental conditioning and our capacity to take success from the golf course into success in life. Now, I don't want that to sound a little bit too esoteric, but the principles of mental conditioning, as we have discussed in the past year and apply them to golf, aren't limited just to golf. And one of the aspects I wanted to look at today, and I'll always be talking from a golf perspective, and I may go off track a little bit occasionally, but always with golf in the background, is to look at areas of mental conditioning, or what I call mental drills, that if we apply them, we will see benefits. Now, I think once or twice in the past year, I may have mentioned a statistic or a fact, which when I first came upon it, I was quite astounded. And what the research indicated was that 96% of four-year-old children have high self-esteem or high levels of self-confidence. They have a good positive image of themselves. Now, obviously, my first thought is, what about the other 4%? Well, again, the evidence seems to say that children who are neglected in the critical early years of development, when the ego is developing, when the self-image is developing, if that is not reinforced positively, it can very easily become quite a negative in their lives. And that is why, you know, and we've seen this particularly where you've had these tragic stories. I think Romania was a good example when the President Ceausescu was finally overthrown. They discovered these orphanages where children had just been fundamentally abandoned. You know, they'd been put in a bed, they had no human contact, they weren't picked up, they weren't loved, they weren't encouraged, they weren't supported. And many of them were broken for life. It was very tragic. But one of the things about four-year-olds, and one of the reasons four-year-olds have very high levels of self-confidence, is because they have a very positive self-image. But where does a self-image come from? So the title of today's talk is called Celebrate. And it's because one of the things that I identified early on in my career when I was writing and speaking around the world was that winners win because they believe they can win. And winners win because they focus on the rewards of success. And I hate using the word losers, but those who fail to win, or losers lose because they focus on the downside of failure, or they don't really believe they were going to win. Now, sometimes they might be surprised to win. But I don't believe there's a woman or man in the world who stood in the Olympic plinth getting the gold, silver, gold, or bronze medal, who hadn't at some point in their earlier life imagined that very scene. So it didn't come as a surprise to them. So one of the things when I was doing developmental work with golfers was to tell them, as I'm going to tell you today, is this one thing. Celebrate your successes on the golf course. Don't just think to yourself, oh, good shot, because it is almost 100... Now, It's 100-to-1 certainty that you will. That's not a good odds, is it? Well, it's even certainty. In fact, what I should have said, it's a certainty that you will, after a bad shot, probably beat yourself up. You will probably be frustrated. You'll probably have a quick inner conversation where you are not too kind to yourself. And yet, when people hit a good shot or a great shot, they rarely reinforce it and they rarely congratulate themselves. And with the exception of the odd punch when a putt goes in, they don't celebrate it. Yet you look at some professional golfers, and I don't like using Tiger Woods because he's always become the default go-to person to use as an example. But How often have we seen him punch the air? Severiano Ballesteros, his iconic punching of the air when he sank his putt on the 18th green in 1984 at St Andrews. So what I wanted to do today was just look at this whole concept of celebrating our success on the golf course. You know, and I'm not talking about punching the air, high-fiving your partner, or chest-bumping each other. That'd be pretty crass. But I think giving a squeeze of your fist, giving yourself, one of the things I often tell my players to do was to just pat themselves in the chest. You know, it's a little pat in the chest, because you can't pat yourself in the back. And, you know, when we positively celebrate an event, from a little pat on our fronts to, and well done, what we're doing is we're creating a stronger, more positive self-image of ourselves as successful achievers. That's what we're doing. We're reinforcing a self-image that was previously, as very young infants, being reinforced on a daily basis by our family, by our parents. Good boy, good girl, clever boy, aren't you smart? Oh, look at you. Aren't you good? Oh, you just scored it. Continuous positive reinforcement. And it stops. And what happens is the negative reinforcement becomes louder, more emotionally, I don't say painful, but I think more emotionally significant. So we then become sort of in a position where the negative reinforcement gets through much more successfully than the positive reinforcement, because our self-image is negative. So we're looking for the negative to reinforce it. I know that might sound a bit, not contentious, but I know it might sound a bit dramatic to say that. But positive begets positive. Celebration begets positive, and a positive self-image begets positive actions and behaviours. But to get that self-image, you have to celebrate your successes, big and small. And it's something we don't do. We often think we don't deserve it. You know, today, you know, in business, we kind of celebrate major successes like a promotion or a big sale or a big thing. But, you know, making a presentation to your colleagues, that's something you should celebrate. When someone else does well, celebrate their success. And the reason I go on endlessly about this celebration concept is because it's about your self-image. And I'm not a psychiatrist or a clinical psychologist, but it's, you often hear people say of themselves, oh, I'm not very good at this, or I can't do that. So the self-image we have is the model which our subconscious minds uses in its ability to align your behaviors and your actions with your self-image. Now, there's another side to this coin. There are people who are just arrogant, pompous narcissists who think they're great at everything, irrespective of what the evidence tells them. And that's the sort of the great extreme. But in our lives, and particularly on the golf course, don't miss an opportunity to celebrate. If you hit a great drive, just give yourself a little pat on the chest, or smile, or just squeeze your fist, or pinch your thumb and forefinger. And the reason you do these actions, and it's called anchoring, you're anchoring a feeling with an emotion. So I'll give you a very simple example. Every time you hit a really good drive down the middle of the fairway, if you sort of squeeze your thumb and forefinger together, you press the two nails together, you can feel that sensation. Then if you do that, it almost becomes a Pavlovian response. So before you're about to hit a shot, you then squeeze your thumb and forefinger together. What that does, it triggers the memories of previous good shots. It settles you down. It makes you feel, I can do this. When I used to skydive, one of the things we used to do in the airplane before we jump out internationally is that people fist bump each other. You know, there's different ways of doing it. And the fist bump was just a way of saying good luck, good jump, you know, all the best. Some people thought there's a slightly ghoulish aspect to it. It's like, this might be the last time I ever see you, so good luck. But it was very ritualistic, and I found it very settling. It always reminded me, like, hey, this is what comes before a good jump. And I would say to yourself, find an anchor that works for you. I personally am a big fan of the thumb nail and the forefinger nail. Press them together quite firmly, and that just settles me and says, I feel good. But a little pat on the chest is a good thing to do. Not a big expressive pat, just putting your hand gently in your pectoral muscle on just one or two things, as though you're just giving yourself a little rub. But find something, because the trigger, when you do something that you can celebrate with a trigger, the trigger then gives you the mental state you're in at the time of celebration. I really hope that makes sense. But that was my thought for today. But take it into your life, take it into your relationships, take it into your workplace, take it into your friendship groups, take it into your cooking. Celebrate your successes. And celebration, as we've agreed, isn't jumping around and singing Celebration by Kool and the Gang. It's just acknowledging a moment when it went the way you wanted it to go. And like the four-year-old child, your confidence will grow. And that's kind of it. I mean, I'd say every week that if you're serious about developing your golf, I would love to work with you. I have a 13-week online program called Silent Mind Golf, and you can get to that at seagergolf.com. There will be a link with this podcast. And if you are an elite amateur or you are a very professional and you'd like to work at a closer one-to-one level, by all means get in touch and we can discuss. And that's it. So any other questions you may have, please drop me an email and I'll read them out online, maybe the next podcast. But until we speak again next week, have an absolute wonderful week, unless you're in the north of Scotland, in which case it's raining and it's wet. And if you're playing golf in those conditions, you have my utmost respect. Somebody once said to me, there's no such thing as bad weather, there's just the wrong clothes. And I used to agree with that until I played in the most colossal rain one day when I had to get my handicap. And that's another story which might be told later, but it was like the retreat from Stalingrad. It was just an endurance test. It's one of those things that you determine, I'm going to finish this round, whatever happens. And I did, but I don't think the golf I played will be commemorated by statues or tales being told in 100 years' time. I'm pretty sure of that. Anyway, have a wonderful week until we meet again. Play great golf and have a wonderful, wonderful time wherever you are.